younger George Bailey. Help him, dear father.
Joseph, Jesus, and Mary, help my friend, Mr. Bailey.
Help my son, George, tonight.
He never thinks about himself, God. That's why he's in trouble.
George is a good guy. Give him a break, God.
I love him, dear Lord. Watch over him tonight.
Please, God, something's the matter with Daddy.
Please bring Daddy back.
Please, God, watch over him tonight.
Well, good morning, Bridge City Church, Murraysville campus. I'm Pastor Eric, campus pastor here, and just curious, how many of you know what the movie was just showing? Anybody show hands? About half the room, okay. The other half, you're going to be educated on a wonderful classic today. We're doing Christmas at the Movies, so there's going to be several movie clips combined with the Word of God. The Word of God is obviously the most important thing that we share, but we can have some fun and relate some things in real life and movies and with the Word of God, how it helps us grow in our relationship with God. But that movie's It's a Wonderful Life, 1947, I believe, is when it came out, George Bailey, and we're going to be looking at several clips of that. But before we get into the message, I want to hear from you. What's your favorite Christmas movie? Favorite Christmas movie. So think about it. On the count of three, we're all going to say it out loud. So no shame, you're in church. It's okay. It's a safe place. On three, ready? You're going to yell it out. One, two, three. Elf. I heard Elf a lot. What else? Elf. Did anybody say, what else was there? Go ahead. Home Alone. Disney Princess? Is that what you said? I'm just clarifying. Is that what okay. There's some Christmas movies. I was expecting some more Christmas. Hallmark. All Hallmark. That's all. Hallmark's like always Christmas, based around small town girls, small town boy, right? Big dreams, what they stay and stuff. Christmas is a great time, but not forgetting that the reason for the season is all about Jesus. Right, what we were just singing about, what we were just worshiping God, that He is the reason for the season. Let's never lose sight of that, but we can have some fun along the way. Very controversial question for you. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Yeah, thank you. Not very controversial. I guess if you didn't answer, maybe you're on the other side of that. You know, there's all these things, and Christmas movies are fun. They're joyful. There's always such a warm, fuzzy feeling at the end of them, right? You always draw closer. That's what our hope today is, to help you understand It's a Wonderful Life, not just in the movie, but how do we have a wonderful life as well? You know, the Christmas time is my favorite time of year. I sing Christmas songs year-round. My wife detests it most of the time, but singing Christmas songs is part of it. But to be honest, Christmas isn't always fun for everyone. Christmas, you know, it's darker, less daylight, more snow. Sometimes there's seasons of, you know, just missing family members, loved ones, whatnot. It's not always fun for everyone. So we exist so that we can reach as many people as possible with the hope of Jesus Christ. So especially for those people in this season who are feeling down, feeling sad, feeling in a dark place, we want to bring them the joy of the world, which is Jesus Christ, right? We want to bring the light to their darkness. We want to bring peace when there seems like there's no peace in the world. And one of the ways we do that is by inviting people, and there's invites on all the seats around you. And if you want to take more, you can grab them off the empty seats, grab them at the connection point. But this is not just a piece of paper with information on it. I believe these are very important to, you can even take a picture and send it to somebody, but inviting people to come join you for a Christmas Eve candlelight service. It's on December 23rd, 7 p.m. We have church every Sunday, but candlelight's always a special evening where more people are likely to come out and join us for church. But let's be believing that God wants to bring light and peace and joy to more people. Amen? So they can receive what we've received by being followers of Jesus. But how many of you know, too, life can be hard? Anybody? Yeah, a couple of you? A couple of the other ones? What are you doing? Help us. No. Life can be hard, right? But God is always good. God never changes. Life and circumstances change. Difficulties come. So what are we going to do about it? Well, our attitude is a choice. How we perceive things going on. If we keep our focus on God is good, life is hard doesn't change, but our attitude can be positive. Our attitude could be something that chooses to look at life as wonderful, because life truly is wonderful. So we're going to be looking today at It's a Wonderful Life with George Bailey in the movie, but we're also going to be looking at Mary, the mother of Jesus in Luke chapter 1, and how she had a wonderful life as well that wasn't always perfect or what we'd expect. So with that, before we jump in, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your word. God, we thank you for this season as we remember and celebrate the birth of your Son. God, that would lead to living a perfect, sinless life for us to be able to enter heaven with his sacrifice, with his resurrection and his ascension. So, Father, I pray, God, that this today, this message would speak to each and every person in this room. God, that you would speak to each and every heart, each and every mind, every family represented, that we would hear from you more than just information or having fun. God, we want to hear from you to be changed and transformed, to celebrate this season with Jesus as the core and the focus. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, a wonderful life. A couple things to have a wonderful life, believing that we are created by God and for God. So, three things specifically we're going to go through today. Created by God and for God, chosen for an assignment, and called to community. So, the movie It's a Wonderful Life, I'm going to share a little bit about that, a little context, because if you don't know the movie, some of the video clips you're not going to really understand. I've recently been exposed to this movie in the last couple years, but the story is, it's about George Bailey. He's the actor, played by Jimmy Stewart. Many people probably have known Jimmy Stewart. He's done 80 movies in his lifetime, actually born in Indiana, PA, so not too far from here, small, kind of a small town guy, but the movie was never meant to be a Christmas movie. As many people say, that's their all-time classic Christmas movie. It wasn't really meant to be a Christmas movie. It was all about ordinary American citizens doing right by themselves and by others. Like just doing the right things. Being good, ordinary people who care for one another. And actually, there's a quote from him near the end of his life. He said, "I've heard the film, talking about It's a Wonderful Life, called an American cultural phenomenon. Well, maybe so, but it seems to me there's nothing phenomenal about the movie itself. It's simply about an ordinary man who discovers that living each ordinary day honorably with faith in God and selfless concern for others can make for a truly wonderful life." Isn't that what we all desire in our lives? That we want to make a difference. We want to have a wonderful life. And that doesn't always mean everything goes perfect, but to live each day as ordinary individuals seeking to do good and honorable with faith in God, selfless concern for others, will make for a truly wonderful life. I believe this sums up the whole movie if you haven't seen it, but do encourage you to watch it. But George, to give a little more context, George Bailey, the main character, he's working at the building alone. And he settles on his dream. He has all these aspirations to travel and do big things as many small town people. How many of you grew up in like a small town? Like not downtown, but most. Okay, some of us. I grew up in Titusville, Pennsylvania, where they discovered oil, and that's the only thing we got going for the whole town. But very small country town, and I'll be honest, everyone in town, we always wanted to get out of town, right? You want to get out, go to the big city, or go do something. George Bailey, likewise, he wants to do something with his life, but ends up settling, getting married, having kids, working a normal, ordinary job. His uncle Billy misplaces $8,000, which is a huge amount of money in 1947 especially. And things start to go bad for George. So bad that he considers taking his own life. And I'm going to show another clip at this point of where George is at this place. Things are falling apart. It seems like all is lost. And this is where we pick up.
Hey, what's with you? What'd you say just a minute ago? Why'd you want to save me?
That's what I was sent down for. I'm your guardian angel.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Ridiculous of you to think of killing yourself for money. $8,000.
Yeah, now just things like that. Now, how do you know that?
I told you I'm your guardian angel. I know everything about you.
Well, you look about like the kind of an angel I'd get. Sort of a fallen angel, aren't you? What happened to your wings?
I haven't worn my wings yet. That's why I'm an angel second class.
I don't know whether I like it very much, being seen around with an angel without any wings.
Oh, I've got to earn them. And you'll help me, won't you?
Sure, sure. How?
By letting me help you.
Yeah. Only one way you can help me. You don't happen to have 8,000 bucks on you, do you?
Oh, no, we don't use money in heaven.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting it. Comes in pretty handy down here, bub.
Oh, tut, tut, tut.
I found it out a little late. I'm worth more dead than alive.
Now, look, you mustn't talk like that. I won't get my wings with that attitude. You just don't know all that you've done. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, if it hadn't been for me, everybody would be a lot better off. My wife and my kids and my friends. And my... Look, little fella, why you go off and haunt somebody else.
No, now you don't understand. I've got my job.
Oh, shut up, will you?
Oh, this isn't going to be so easy. Yeah, so you still think killing yourself would make everyone feel happier, eh?
Oh, I don't know. I guess you're right. I suppose it'd been better if I'd never been born at all.
What'd you say?
I said I wish I'd never been born.
Oh, you mustn't say things like that. Wait a minute. Wait a minute, that's an idea. What do you think? Yeah, that'll do it. All right. You've got your wish. You've never been bored.
Yeah, George, at this point of low point in his life, and I don't know if you've ever, I'm sure we all have had low points in life, disappointment, stress, just complete sadness in his life at this point. And I think we have two options, and when we get to those points in our life, we either draw close to God or we push God away. In fact, before the scene, he was praying to God, saying, God, help me. God sends him the guardian angel, and then he doesn't accept it, right? He rejects it, and I think that's such a dichotomy that we often go through. We pray, and God, help me. God, help me. God, send somebody, and God often tries to send, and we say, no, not that way, right? I want to do it this way. Often, if we don't see how God is moving in our lives, we can reject it or miss out on it. And George is at this place of almost giving up the most valuable and precious gift that we have, the gift of life. And, you know, if you've ever been in a place of considering suicide or deep depression, you know, there's seasons that comes and that happens, but we must not lose sight of the value of life. The most precious thing that we have is life. The most precious gift, the most valuable gift is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if you've ever been at that place or you're feeling in a dark place now, don't lose sight of life. Don't lose sight of the value that really one of the ways we do that is focusing on this statement, created by God and for God. When you realize you've been created by God, that he's created you for a purpose, there's a reason you're on this planet. Circumstances and everything else can look so bad, but when you remember God, the creator of the universe, has created you, that you weren't an accident, that you were created on purpose and for a purpose. It helps you stay focused. This helps you stay grounded and to remember that we can have a relationship with God, that he desires to have a relationship with us. So we're going to step away from the movie a little bit, and I want to get to the Bible and looking at the life of Mary. Again, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we're going to pick up in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, where Mary, you know, give a little context, this few verses before this. This is where the Bible talks about how John the Baptist was conceived. Elizabeth, Mary's older cousin, is pregnant. She's in her old age. Then the angel Gabriel appears to Mary. And it says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, so 6 months, she's pregnant with John the Baptist, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. You know what? One of the things I love about the Bible is it gives such specific details to so many things. Right? These are real people in real places, in real time, with real events, just validating and solidifying the truth of the Word of God. The Bible's not just ethereal, mythological fairy tales, but they're actual people and actual places recorded in history. All these things can be proven in history. Well, we continue. Gabriel, the angel, appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." Now, if you could put yourself in the position of Mary at the time, she's a young girl, probably a teenager, 13 to 17 years old, the culture of the time, that's typically when women would get engaged and married into another family, into a man, that she's this young teenage girl, and an angel appears to her. I mean, I think as adults, we'd be like, have that same response. Like, whenever angels appear in the Bible, they usually start with, "Hey, don't be afraid." There's a reason they had to say that, right? It wasn't just, I mean, part of it's just, the angel of God. An angel was in their presence, but they look scary. I imagine they don't look like most movies show them, like Clarence. He doesn't look that scary, right? But that's not how angels usually appear in the Bible. And yet they start with, don't be afraid. What's amazing to me is that Mary, there's really nothing special recorded about her. There's nothing about Mary that would make you, like, I feel like Mary at the time, like, you talking to me? And she says, like, ooh, me? Like, what? You must have the wrong person. You must have meant to go to a palace or a queen or a princess or somebody who really has got a lot going for them. But yet God chose Mary, an ordinary girl from Nazareth, to birth the Son of God, to birth the Messiah. Here she is kind of minding her own business, living the Nazareth dream, whatever that looks like. You know, probably just she wants to get married and have kids. That's the dream. That's her life. But God says, you have been found. You found favor with God. See, we have a choice whenever an angel or God speaks to us, which angels don't often appear that common in today's culture in our lives, and even the Bible, it was very rare. But whenever God speaks to us, we have a choice to make, to choose to receive it or to reject it. Mary could have been like, no, not me. Go to the next one. Wrong house. I'm not going with it. She could have refused. I believe she could have said, no, I'm not doing that. But she chose to say yes and accept the call. See, the real story of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. He said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. This would have been the most terrifying task, assignment given by God, that you're going to get pregnant out of wedlock as a teenage girl, and not just with any child, but the Messiah himself. You're going to get pregnant with him. And yet he calls her favored among women. Other translations say that Mary was favored among women, not above women. Mary wasn't like the perfect woman, and that's why God chose her. But because she said yes, because she had faith to believe in God, she is honored. She is looked upon as somebody who has received more grace on her life, more favor upon God. But God is with each and every one of us. That Emmanuel, God with us. I think it's easier to believe God's with other people. But do you believe God's with you? Do you know that God is with you, that God is for you, that God has a purpose and a plan for you, that you've been created by God and for God? And it's not because we're so great. It's all because he's so great. He is so, so good. A Wonderful Life believes that we are also chosen for an assignment. I believe every single one of us has an assignment from God. There's a purpose in your life. And not just a one-time thing, but a life that points people to Jesus, a life of faith, a life of joy, a life that's honorable in pointing more and more people to the kingdom of God. Ordinary, everyday people, right? He chose Mary, an ordinary, everyday person. In the Wonderful Life movie, George Bailey's an ordinary guy in a small town of Bedford Falls. God chooses to use ordinary, everyday people. The assignment to Mary, the angel continues and speaks to her in verse 31. He says, you will conceive and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. How many of you know, picking a baby name is kind of hard? Not with Mary. He said, you're going to name him Jesus. Now understand, the name Jesus literally means God who saves, the Lord who saves, God of salvation. Imagine naming your child the one who's going to save everybody, right? We talk about some high expectations on your children. But here's an angel says to Mary, you're going to name him Jesus. He's going to be great. He's going to be Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. So Mary here is, again, a young girl, small town, insignificant, waiting. She's a Jewish girl too, so she would have known the Old Testament as we know it today, the scriptures. She would have known that they've been waiting for the Messiah to come. They've been waiting on the one who's going to save the people of Israel to come. For 400 years, there wasn't really anything spoken by God through the prophets, nothing to the word. That the Old Testament's been 400 years of silence. 400 years, that's older than our country's been in existence. 400 years, Israel's been waiting for the Messiah, for God to intervene, to God to speak. And here, he breaks the silence, so to speak, by speaking to a teenage girl. saying, you're going to be the one to carry my child. The expectations, the pressure that I could have put on her, yet she responds, and she asks a very valid question. But how can this happen? I'm a virgin. I've never been married to a man. A very valid question. The angel replies, he said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. Again, when God speaks, we have two choices, to accept it or reject it. She chose to say yes. It's okay to ask questions. Okay, God, how is this going to happen? This doesn't make sense in the natural. It's okay to have questions. It's okay to even have doubts. But ultimately to say yes to God. See, chosen for an assignment, it doesn't make us immune to problems and challenges. Just to give you a little bit more of the context here, Mary's life, the rest of her life, she's going to be told that her son is going to be risen up and lifted down, that she's going to watch him be crucified on the cross. Imagine a mother watching her son be killed. Like, she knows that's something that was actually prophesied to her by Simeon in the temple. You know, she had her length of challenges and trials and problems that she faced, even Jesus rejecting her at some times or correcting her at times, which we all know our kids do that. But this is Jesus. He's perfect, right? We all want our kids to be perfect. Hers actually was. He's holy. He's perfect. But Mary said yes to God. And she wasn't just saying yes to an easy task. She was saying yes to being most likely ridiculed. She could have been put to death because she was pregnant out of wedlock. They could have killed her. Yet she said yes. Yes to the assignment. See, Mary had a bigger picture of what was at stake. I believe she had faith to believe God, whatever you say is true. She believed that there's something more at stake than just my life. And that's why she was able to say yes. We're going to go to another movie clip of George Bailey's wife, and they're in the bank. This is during the Great Depression. So if you remember the Great Depression, stock market crashes. Everyone rushes to the bank to take out their money. They want to withdraw their cash, which is going to crush the economy, which is going to ruin banks. So George Bailey and his family own this building and loan. It's like a banking institution. All the people are rushing to take their money out, and this is where we pick up.
Now, we can get through this thing, all right? We've got to stick together, though. We've got to have faith in each other.
But my husband hasn't worked in over a year, and I need money.
How am I going to live until the bank opens?
I got Dr. Bruce to pay. I need cash.
I can't keep my kids on faith. I've got to have...
How much do you need?
Hey! I got $2,000. Here's $2,000. This will tide us over to the bank reopens. All right, Tom, how much do you need?
$242.
No, Tom, just enough to tide you over into the bank
reopens. I'll take $242.
$242. There you are.
That'll close my account.
Your account's still here. That's a loan. Okay. All right, Ed.
Well, I've got $300 here, George.
All right, now, Ed, what'll it take until the bank opens? What do you need?
Well, I suppose... $20?
$20. Now you're talking. Thanks, Ed. That's fine. All right. Now, Miss Thompson, how much do you want?
But it's your own money,
now,
George.
Don't mind about that. How much do you want now?
I can get along with $20, all right.
$20, fine.
And I'll sign the paper.
You don't have to sign anything. I know. You pay when you can. That's okay. All right, Miss Davis?
Could I have $17.50?
That's your heart. Of course you can have it. You got 50 cents? There we go. Seven.
We're going to make it, George.
Six.
It'll never close us up today.
Five, four, three... 2, 1, bingo! We made it! Close the door, you! Since we made it, look, we're still in business. We still got $2 left.
Okay, if you don't know the movie, you might be missing some of the importance of that, but basically, the bank was going to be out of business. George was actually going to be going to jail because they couldn't fulfill their requirements, the bank examiner and all that stuff. And Mary, his wife, pulls up her own money. Their own money is what they're giving out in. Mary's selfless act, as grand as it was, led to people, their lives being changed, their lives being impacted, their lives being saved. I mean, if you know much about the Depression, people were starving to death. They literally could not make ends meet. And it wasn't any of their faults. It was just the economy and the culture they had. So Mary and George both committed themselves to helping other people. You know, in the movie, it's like they had this assignment to help people throughout the time. They were always looking to bless people, to help people, to be a benefit to them, even at the cost of themselves, even using their own money. So realizing we've been all created by God, for God, chosen for an assignment which is bigger than any of us or any of our lives. But jump back to verse 36, Luke 1, verse 36. The angel continues to Mary, again, Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, "What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she was conceived, has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary had this assignment from God. He sent an angel, which, you know, if an angel appeared, hopefully you'd listen. But sometimes we still argue with angels, right? We see George arguing with Clarence, which we actually see in the Bible, people who argued with an angel. Like, who are you? How do I know this is going to happen? You know, early in Luke 1, Zechariah's arguing with the angel. Like, how can I know this is true? It's like you're in the presence of an angel, right? The presence of God. But yet, the angel's so nice and generous to Mary because she's willing. And he says, what's more? Not only are you going to conceive the Messiah, you're going to carry this child. Your cousin, Elizabeth, who's old in her old age, she could not have children. God's let her get pregnant as well. So there's assignment, but then there's a validation, a confirmation of what God is going to do. And he says, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is this one here, 37, "For the word of God will never fail." Some translations say, "Nothing is impossible with God." So think about the reality of this. This old lady, old in age, God gets her, allows her to get pregnant. Everyone said, it's past, you can't get pregnant, you can't do it, nothing's going to work, but God. Think of Abraham and Sarah. Sarah's 90 years old and she gets pregnant, but God. A virgin teenage girl, but God. There's nothing God cannot do, right? But at times we doubt and we worry and we've been praying for so long and we don't see things happen. But I want to encourage you, and I believe God wants to speak faith to you right now, to don't forget that nothing is impossible with God, that His word never fails. Are you still standing on the word of God? Are you still praying the word of God? Are you still believing for God to bring breakthrough in your life? If you still got breath in your lungs, there's still more for you to do. There's still more that God has in store for you. Don't lose sight and don't lose faith with those things you've been praying. Do you have loved ones that don't know Jesus, that are living a way that you know is not pleasing to God? Don't stop praying for them. Pray for them, invite them to come to a candlelight, and you say, I've invited them for years. Don't stop praying for them. Don't stop speaking the word of God over their lives. Do you have a health issue right now? God wants to heal you. I believe God is a healer. He's not just something we wish for and hopefully we get it on our Christmas list. God is a healer. In His presence, we will be healed. By His stripes, we are healed. Believing in faith that God can heal us and that He desires that. What's the thing that you need prayer for? It's okay to ask for prayer. It's okay to submit prayer requests. But how much are we praying ourselves and praying for those things that matter to our lives? Nothing is impossible with God, for the word of God will never fail. Maybe that's your weekly reading of every day this week. Just read, the word of God will never fail, and keep reading it. Verse 38, Mary responds. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left. She had received her assignment from God. She didn't ask for a sign or confirmation, but God gave it to her. But I wonder, do you think Mary ever questioned if she was doing the right thing? I mean, that 9 month span, think about it, 9 months from conception to birth. If any of you have had children, you know that can be a long time, right, of waiting, of wondering. Nothing was spoken to her or shown to her in those 9 months that would help her know that she was still on course, right? She's wondering, waiting. Do I really have what it takes? Can I really say yes to this? It's a life of faith, and it takes faith. Mary, just like George, both just ordinary, everyday people that God chose to do amazing things. So if going kind of back to the movie in a sense of George had been impacting so many people in his life. If you know the movie, you know of all the different people, and we're going to see that in the last clip that we're going to show in just a few minutes. But Clarence, this angel shows up to remind George, and really the rest of the movie from the two clips ago was showing George what would have happened if he wasn't born. You know, there's times we think about that, like, maybe it would be better if I wasn't born. Maybe it would be better if I just wasn't around. You know, there's times in our life, but Imagine what would be like if you weren't here. Or think of somebody else that, what if somebody else in your life was never born? How much different your life would be. And then I think, what if now I live moving forward with a mindset of, I want to make a difference in other people's lives. I want to add value to their lives. I want to be that person that helps impact them for eternity, that their life would be so much worse if I weren't around. Not in building yourself up, but because you're adding so much value to them. See, A Wonderful Life believes we are called to community. The Christian life is never meant to be done alone. As followers of Jesus, we're called to community. And community is not just something exclusive to Christianity, but there's a community of people. When we are serving in community together, we confirm with one another. Right? Thinking about Mary, she's faced with this a massive assignment to birth the Son of God, but she didn't do it alone. She had her cousin Elizabeth that started there, somebody who's older than her, who's gone before her, somebody who's literally walking out the same thing she's about to walk out of being having a miraculous conception. But then there's 9 months later when she birthed Jesus, the shepherds came. Remember the angels, the host of angels appear to the shepherds out in the field, and they all come to the manger where Jesus is. And they confirm what God was doing in and through Mary. They confirmed it by saying, we just saw this thing, the angels are speaking, confirming that your baby truly is the Messiah. The wise men who brought their gifts and traveled this long distance to see the newborn King of the Jews. Don't you want those confirmations in life? But where do we find those at? We find them in other people. We find those in people in this very room who can help confirm the word of God, his assignment in community. We have Simeon and Anna in the temple when they take Jesus there 8 days later to dedicate him to the Lord. They prophesy and speak, this is the Son of God. This is the child of God. And they talk about what is going to come. Again, confirming and revealing to Mary a deepening of what she already heard, but now she was believing it and having faith to believe. George's life and meaning in the movie were confirmed within community as well. Life is challenging. We need one another, right? The ups and downs of life, that's why we need one another. We cannot do it alone. Without community, we get ourselves in a place like George was at the first clip of looking at our mess, right? What happens when you start to look at me, myself, and I? I screwed up. I messed up. I'm not perfect. I. And your world gets real small. What's one of the best things you can ever do for yourself when you're in that place like that? Start thinking about others. Start praying for others. If you don't know who to pray for me. I need a lot of prayer for things. But we pray for others. We get outside of ourselves. Instead of consumed with what's happening to me and in me. And you need to be reflective. You need to know those things. But don't stay there. Start praying for people outside. Start looking of, how can I help somebody else? Maybe somebody else is going through something worse than what I'm going through. Realize when we're all going through stuff, we think it can't get any worse. There's always somebody who has it worse, right? Go to the children's hospital and look in the NICU. There's somebody who's always having a worse day than you. But call the communities. We're called to help one another, to confirm and encourage one another. And this last clip, it's the end of the movie. It brings it all together where George now, he's been shown what would have happened if George wasn't born, and then now he's back. He's like back from the vision. He's back in the same place he was before. All the mess, all the problems, nothing else has changed yet, and this is where we pick up the movie.
Yay! Hello, Bedford Falls!
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, George!
Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful old building alone!
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
Happy New Year to you! In jail!
Go on home, they're waiting for you.
Come in, Uncle Billy! Everybody! In here!
George!
Isn't it wonderful? So many friends. Mary did it, George. She told some people you were in trouble. And they scattered all over town collecting money. Didn't ask any questions, just said, George in trouble. Tell me,
what is this?
Like
another run on the bank?
George. Merry Christmas.
Now, don't push. There we are. The Lime Farms on the right. The Lime Farms on the
right. Come in, George. Merry Christmas. And God bless you.
Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right.
Attaboy, Clarence.
Couldn't see it. That letter was, "Dear George, remember no man is a failure who has friends. Thanks for the wings. Love, Clarence." The angel got his wings. You know, if you don't know the movie, all those faces they show at the end there, a lot of those people throughout the movie, they wouldn't be where they wouldn't be alive. They wouldn't be where they were if it weren't for George. One guy, he almost gave poison to somebody accidentally, would have ruined him, would have put him in prison. You know, there's so many stories. His brother, who's the war hero, He would have died if it weren't for George saving his life. And it's not just the movie. It's showing the impact we can have on other people's lives. I don't think we have any idea how much impact we can truly have on people's lives. I don't know if we'll ever know in our lifetime the value that we can add to people. The meaning and purpose we can add to people. How much God allows us and chooses us to live for Him. To realize when we're created by God and for God, we're chosen and we accept the assignment God's given us. We're called to community, to do life with others. God can do amazing things through us. And it's never about how good we are. We're just ordinary, everyday people, just like George Bailey, just like Mary, but saying yes to what God has given us is how we can make a difference in other people's lives. Would you please stand to your feet? I believe the most important thing that we could ever do, the most important decision we could ever make, is choosing to accept Jesus as the forgiver of our past and the leader to our future. That's what we call being a Christian here, beginning a relationship with God. It's not about your works. It's not about being special enough. It's not about your education. It's only about what Jesus Christ has done for you. If you really want to make a difference for eternity, it starts with accepting and beginning a relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus Christ has done. That He gave of Himself. He lived a selfless, sacrificial life, dying on the cross, raising up from the dead for us, to benefit us. So I want to pray for everyone in the room. If you're here today, you just say, I want God to use me. That's all you're saying. I want God to use me to make a difference in somebody's life, to impact somebody's life. Maybe they're never going to say thank you. They're never going to repay you. They may never do anything good for you, but you want to add value to them. You want to make a difference in their life for eternity. I want to just pray for you. So if you're here, just lift up your hands just as a sign of saying, I want to receive whatever God has for me to make a difference in other people's lives. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, your grace to be put upon every single person whose hands are up, who desire to be a difference maker in other people's lives. God, that we remember that somebody impacted our lives. God, that somebody added value to our lives. That somebody brought us or invited us to church or shared Jesus with us or shared scripture with us or prayed with us at some point in our life. God, that we would be people who look for opportunities to make a difference for eternity. God, I pray you'd use us to build your church, to expand your kingdom, to make a difference as we get to experience this wonderful life, God, I pray for us to be catalysts to other people's lives as we celebrate the greatest gift of eternal life through your Son, Jesus. And in this moment of prayer, as we're standing before God, I just want to offer you this moment. If you just want to make Jesus the forgiver of your past and the leader to your future, you want to make that decision to accept him, to receive him, that he can forgive you. He already has done the work. All you got to do is receive that gift. The greatest Christmas gift you've ever received would be the gift of Jesus. You believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for your sin. Not just the sins of the world, but for your sin. And that you want to follow him. You want to learn what it means to be a Christian, to walk with Jesus, to follow Jesus, to hear from him. If that's you and you're here today and you say, that's me, I want to make sure that I know Jesus, that I've accepted him as the forgiver of my past, and that he now will become the leader to your future. I just want you to lift up your hands as well, just so I can pray for you. Don't miss this moment to make that decision. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray for every person making that decision to allow you to become the forgiver of our past and the leader to their future. Father, I pray you'd remove shame, guilt, condemnation, God, fear of any kind, anything that's not from you, God, I pray you'd remove it now in Jesus' name. As they surrender to you, they'd allow their past to truly be their past, that it would not rule them moving forward, but God, they can learn from their past, and that their past would drive them closer in a devotion to you and a love for you. God, from this day forward, December 8th, 2024 is a new day that they call Jesus their Lord, their faithful follower, as they have become a faithful follower of yours. God, we thank you for everyone making that decision. And God, I pray they'd continue to take steps of growth as they seek you in every way. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Jared's going to come up and give you some more opportunities.